You're listening to the final episode of the spring 2015 season of Assignment Radio. I'm Haley Thornton. Today, crossing the line. When thinking about people who cross the line or push the limits, usually a specific person comes to mind. It could be a friend, a celebrity, a sibling, or maybe yourself. They are the people who won't let the rules stop them from having their own adventure. Assignment Radio's Pam Ortega talks to an OU student who has a knack for mischief, but has learned not to push the limits too far.
Jeannie Nunez is a communication major in her junior year at OU. Wherever she goes, she walks with great energy. Whatever she does, she tackles it fully. Jeannie's friends say she does not follow trends, but sets them. One day, Jeannie got a tattoo. Not a feminine tattoo of a rose or an angel. Jeannie's tattoo says, "Mischief managed."
I'm a big Harry Potter fan, and so there's this map called the Morrider's Map. In order to use the map, you have to say, "I solemnly swear I'm up to no good," and it opens it up and it allows you to see every one that's kind of significant or just in general a student in at Hogwarts, wherever it is that they are in the building. But it's super restricted, it's super confidential, it's not supposed to be in the hands of Harry Potter, but it ends up in the hands of Harry Potter, and he means to use it for good, but it's just a dangerous item to hold. In order to close it, make all of the magical things that are happening on the being able to see the people, in order to make that go away and for it to turn into normal parchment again, he has to say "mischief managed." I figured putting this tattoo on me, people that didn't know who I was or who didn't know me closely would look at that and immediately think Harry Potter fan.
Although Jeannie's a big Harry Potter fan, there's a deeper meaning behind her tattoo. She believes her tattoo describes a part of who she is, something many often don't witness.
I will usually say that I'm kind of a combination of both words, mischief and managed. The reason that I incorporate mischief, though, is because if there is a set of guidelines, rules, procedures, I will be that person that will stretch. I will stretch them and like go the farthest without breaking them, but I will deviate pretty far and make sure to like do it my way.
Jeannie is the youngest of six children. She thinks that the youngest position gave her more freedom than children her age from smaller families. She remembers digging up holes in the backyard, wearing overalls, and having a Chili Bowl haircut. Looking back, Jeannie said her childhood didn't seem very traditional and certainly not very ladylike.
I had a lot of freedom growing up and a whole lot more flexibility to break the rules and still get away with it. I think that I grew up being that managed side of mischievous, being like this almost good, mischievous type of person.
Doing things in a traditional order is not something Jeannie typically does. From running with boys to competing in cross-country tournaments and cheap running shoes, Jeannie prefers to start with the hard tasks first.
Leadership on campus, where I've done it backwards, where it's like I started and I went hard and I did those really strenuous leadership positions and really hard and difficult office positions and exec positions and different things. And even classes, I took some of the hardest classes at the beginning.
Jeannie says with her mischief managed, she moves through life always looking forward to the next challenge. Jeannie says her favorite quote by Dr. Seuss sums up her philosophy.
"I like nonsense. It wakes up brain cells. Fantasy is a necessary ingredient in living. It's a way of looking at life through the wrong end of a telescope, which is what I do, and that enables you to laugh at life's realities."
Jeannie's plans constantly change. She hasn't decided what she's doing when she grows up, but she understands she will never fully grow up. She's ready to explore and see what life has in store. For Assignment Radio, I'm Pam Ortega.
A coyote running away from men who wish to imprison him decides to outsmart them using their weakness, greed. The coyote hides money in a tree, and when the men find him, he says he wants to make a deal. He says if they would let him go, they could have his magic money tree. The coyote shakes the branches and money falls to the ground. He tells them he gets to keep this money, but at the same time the next day, the tree will grow more for them. The coyote says if they give him their packs of food, he will leave and the tree is all theirs. The greedy men agree, and the coyote takes their horses and food and never sees them again. There's a long tradition of tricksters like the coyote in Native American storytelling. Rabbits, foxes, and even monkeys find themselves learning and teaching life lessons by challenging norms and causing mischief. Assignment Radio's Lydia Theben learned about these trickster tales and how sometimes they can go a little too far.
Cherokee and professor of literature at the University of Oklahoma, Dr. Joshua Nelson teaches his Native American literature classes about the stories starring the Cheeky Coyote, the Rambunctious Rabbit, or any other character that crosses the line.
Probably no accident that coyote shows up over and over again, that rabbit shows up over and over, not least because they're clever, right? These are clever animals, and they're just kind of skittish and fun to watch in their own regard. And we can't help but think, I think, that there is some kind of a sentience in those animals. We can look at them and we know that they're plotting, right? that they don't care what we think about what they're up to. They're going to do it anyway, by hook or crook.
These animals are the most well-known of the tradition, but the stories can feature any character that gets into shenanigans and breaks the rules. Nelson says sometimes these tales are goofy, other times they can be offensive.
So a lot of the animal stories about how Possum lost his tail among the Cherokees or how Turtle got his shell broken, yeah, these are palatable. And no one's going to suffer a great deal of harm via these. But at the same time, some of these others look like maybe they belong to more of an adult audience.
Nelson says when he introduces the topic to his students, they often list popular characters like Bugs Bunny or Loki as examples of tricksters. While these characters don't stem from the Native American tradition of trickster tales, they share the same tendency to get into trouble.
It looks like just about all kinds of cultures show up with somebody taking on that role of violator. And it's someone typically who's very kind of attractive. He goes against the grain. And we're still just absolutely kind of riveted and fascinated by those people who are willing to break the rules.
Sometimes the tricksters go so far past the boundaries of propriety that Nelson is hesitant to present them to his classes. He says when he teaches his class about stories written by Gerald Visner, a key member of the Native American Renaissance movement, the characters' actions are often out of hand. But still, Dr. Nelson believes there's a larger understanding that we must take away from more difficult stories like Visner's.
Quite frankly, he's hard to read because he really does embrace that notion of going too far. And so the literature that he offers us up, I'm frequently uncomfortable with, right? I'm always a little leery about, you know, how appropriate it is to offer it up to my students. So there's a lot of sexual humor. There's a lot of scatological humor. And in Visner's hands, it's always very smartly done. And at the same time, it's sexual and scatological and goes too far, right? So it's always, I think, a careful balance to try to figure out where we value violation and what it would mean if we absolutely indulged in violation. So the trickster as a kind of outlet figure really does maybe help us to mediate that. So I still teach it, right? But maybe you just got to sort of say, you know, all right, kids, don't do this at home. You know?
Even though some of these trickster tales can be seen as offensive or inappropriate, Nelson thinks the stories can make us laugh, but even more, teach us the consequences of crossing norms.
I think we'd be impoverished without those sorts of stories, right? So even as we can watch someone doing something stupid, violating rules, going too far in either their violations or in the jokes that they're telling or whatever else, we still need this, right? It'd be like having a world without punk rock or something. We were just sort of better for having even mistakes.
For Assignment Radio, I'm Lydia Theben.
Going too far can be thrilling. It can be exciting. But the consequences, sometimes they can outweigh the rewards. College students often hear that their 4 years in the university are the best 4 years of their lives. Soak it all in, take in as many experiences as possible, and maybe every once in a while, cross the line. But what lines will people cross to check an experience off their 4-year bucket list? I heard a rumor as a freshman that the stacks at the library were not a place for reading. A concept I didn't understand until meeting this young woman who told me her most embarrassing moment. We'll call her Sarah.
It's gonna be awkward. Yeah, it was at this table, actually, in his seat, and the one next to him.
Sarah is an employee at the campus library. She, like me, was clueless to the unspoken reputation of the tall, secluded bookshelves at the end of the hall. We walk to the library coffee shop and she apprehensively explains her experience.
I was walking back to our office on the third floor and there was a couple sitting at the table with something going on under the table, and I just walked faster after I noticed and pretended not to notice, but I heard shuffling and like giggling after I passed by. And when I looked at them, they were not looking up anywhere. They were looking down under the table. And then I just kind of passed by as quick as I could because I was embarrassed and they were embarrassed.
Other people are more open about the concept.
It was second semester, right before I was about to go home for the summer. And it was finals week, and so the library was open 24/7. And I was really tired of studying for my sociology test. And I was kind of talking to this athlete. And we were just studying, and it was like 4 in the morning. We've never been to the stacks before. So we were like, oh, okay, let's go explore the spooky part of the stacks. And then he just pushed me against the wall, and we just kissed a little bit.
Although she didn't want to give me her name, the student was more than willing to explain the appeal of stealing a kiss in the stacks.
I just think it's exciting knowing that you might be get caught. Even if it's a harmless thing as a kiss, it's kind of like taboo to do that in the library. And, well, I don't know if you've seen the library security, but it's just kind of thrilling to know that one of them might catch you kissing someone.
Her friend sitting across from her laughs as if this is typical behavior for her. But even for those who are less adventurous, she says the prospect can still be exciting.
I've always heard of people doing it, and I always thought it was really like an exciting idea, but I actually don't have the courage to do it myself. I don't know how many people have actually hooked up in the library, but everyone talks about it.
She uses the term hooked up lightly. When I asked why the stacks, both of them acted like I missed out on the best gossip of the year.
Everyone knows that it's the stacks.
And even though she says the risks outweigh the rewards, she still entertains the idea of crossing that line.
I would like to say if the opportunity presented itself, I would like to go hook up in the stacks, but again, the risk seems too high.
This weekend, you and Andrew.
I know. Oh my gosh, because it's finals week time, when you think the opportune time is 5 a.m. Senior bucket list.
Even though it's taboo, Sarah says it's inevitable.
We are college students, and, you know, that's something college students like to do, whether it be in a public place or not.
There is nothing that crosses the line more than believing you're above the law. These next two stories are radio plays by students in OU's advanced audio class about people who live by their own rules, wreaking havoc on everyone else. Becca Buckner tells the tale of two tough women in the Old West who settle their dispute with a duel.
The town of Canyon Diablo has long been under the ruthless rule of murderous outlaw Jen Killer Miller and her gang of ruthless gunslingers. Can the new sheriff rid the town folk from the rule of this evil tyrant and return Canyon Diablo back to its once peaceful state?
What can I get you?
Shot of whiskey.
You new around here?
You could say that. I'm the new sheriff in town. The Texas Ranger sent me down here after the last one was run out of town.
Well, this town, it ain't run by the law. And the Texas Rangers know that. That's who runs this town, not the law.
Well, the reign of the Killer Miller gang is coming to an end.
Barkeep, whiskeys, and just bring the bottle.
Miss Miller, I'm so very sorry. Let me go get you another bottle.
I've killed a man for a lot less than spilling cheap whiskey on my boots.
Kind of
there's something you need, girl.
Well, it's Sheriff Fraser, not girl.
Fraser. Sounds like some Yankee name. You're a long way from home, girl, and seem to have forgotten your place. This town is mine, and the likes of you ain't welcome. You better leave before I take it upon myself to make you leave. And I guarantee you won't be leaving on the back of a horse, but in a pine box.
Now look here. You might have been accustomed to a certain way of life, but I am afraid that is all going to change. I am the law of these here parts now, and my word will be respected or punishments will be handed out.
You ain't the first lawman to try and slap their will upon my town, nor will you be the last. The only thing you or your predecessors have done to help this town is by sharpening my gun skills.
Well, clearly, this town ain't big enough for the both of us. Looks like the only way to rid this town of you is a duel. Once you have been killed, I will handle the rest of your worthless gang.
Sheriff, if you wish to meet your death so soon, I'm so happy to oblige you. I must warn you, I have the fastest guns in the West.
My dear Ms. Miller, you might have had the fastest guns in the West until today.
Duel at high noon came the justice-bearing Sheriff Fraser bring an end to the ruthless Jim Killer Miller. Or will she become another lawman tombstone in the town cemetery? Who really has the fastest guns in Canyon Diablo?
Fraser, you sure you want to go through with this? I'll still let you leave my town with your tail between your legs.
Just count your 12 paces, Miller, and make sure you draw faster than me. One, two, three. Four, five, six,
seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12.
I told you, Miller, my word would be respected or punishment would be handed out. Now for the rest of you, leave my town or meet the same end. You take this filth with you. There is no room for her in my cemetery.
A new reign has begun in Canyon Diablo. Sheriff Ann Fraser waits patiently for the next outlaw to test her authority.
There is nothing that crosses the line more than believing you're above the law. These next two stories are radio plays by students in OU instructor Kenny Kay's advanced audio class about people who live by their own rules, wreaking havoc on everyone else. Becca Buckner tells the tale of two tough women in the Old West who settle their dispute with a duel.
Welcome back to Murder Mondays on WGYX Radio. I'm your host, David Fries, bringing you your favorite murder mysteries. So grab your blankets, pour a glass of wine, and tune in to an hour of shock, awe, and intrigue with Jeff Cady's newest mystery, Reclaiming Revenge.
Who could that be this late?
I'm coming! What can I do for you?
Does Karen Jacobs live here?
I'm Karen. What do you want?
Karen Jacobs. Collin County District Attorney.
Yes. Who are you?
The man who's gonna kill you.
Attention, there has been a breakout at Duncan Prison. A possible inmate has been spotted just outside city limits. Lock your doors and stay inside until further notice.
What else?
Oh.
you made a huge mistake. But you did say something. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been put away. You should have kept quiet. Now I'm gonna silence you myself.
We got two murders from last night, both with the same M.O.
What do we know?
First, District Attorney Karen Jacobs. Stabbed multiple times with a knife in her home. Weapon left at the scene of the crime. Second, Frank McMillan. Ex-convict, stabbed in the chest. Found an hour after Jacobs was discovered in her home.
Any relation between the victims?
5 years ago, McMillan was charged with 3 years for aiding and abetting. Jacobs was the DA for his case, but reduced the sentence in exchange for information.
Who did he snitch on?
A man by the name of John Fisher. He was charged with robbery and murder back in 47.
And where is he now?
He was serving out his sentence at Duncan Prison in Dunbar, but he escaped 3 days ago.
Any leads to his current location?
No, but we're still looking.
All right. Let's keep at it, and update me with any leads.
Yes, sir.
It's time to hear a word from our sponsor, but we'll return with more of Reclaiming Revenge. Stay tuned, you're listening to Murder Mondays on WGYX Radio.
Or lift without lightness, or lightness without lift. Get them both with RC, your thirst will agree, it's the brightest lift of the day.
Delightful. What do you want? I'm in the middle of a show.
How you'll love it, tangy kiss of lemon, kiss of lime flavor.
It's a scent you can't pick your best with Sewer Chap Pants. Don't put up with that condition.
Who are you?
Are you the man on the radio that's been talking about me?
What the hell are you talking about?
I've been to jail once, and I have no intention of going back.
I don't have time for this. Go bug somebody else.
No. I think your time is up.
Oh my God! What are you doing? I don't even know you!
But I know you.
Get away from me!
Over 20 different patterns of genuine Sandran. On Sandran Day, Friday, July 10th, at Wilcoxon's.
To those listening, you already know too much. I will find and kill each one of you. This story never ends.
You've been listening to the final episode of the spring 2015 season of Assignment Radio. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of KGOU, its staff, or the University of Oklahoma. You can find more information about this program and these stories and leave your comments and feedback on our website at kgou.org. Today marks 2 years at KGOU and my 10th episode of Assignment Radio, and it happens to be my last. Thanks to all the great people at KGOU and to you for listening in. Even though I'm sad to go, I'm happy to leave the job to KGOU's talented student employee, Sarah Hurd. So be sure to tune in to the fall 2015 season of Assignment Radio beginning in September. I'm Haley Thornton, and thanks for listening to KGOU.